Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, The Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice, and you can rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. That small act of kindness will help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
All right, everyone. Today we are here with a friend of ours and a musician on my music masterclass, and his name is Genny Skendo. And as you'll hear from his accent, he was born and raised in Long Island, New York. Well, no, okay, not really.
Wait a minute.
Albania, I believe, right?
Yeah, yes.
And, Albania. And Genny's a really, really great woodwind player. He plays some very rare instruments. He also plays saxophone, I believe, and piano.
I play some sax.
And
yeah.
Some other, and a bunch of other things. Yes. I know him mainly from playing some really cool world instruments, right? Like, what are some of the strange ones you play, or what?
The main world instrument that I play is shakuhachi, mm-hmm. the Japanese bamboo flute. That's my favorite, and I also dabble with the bansuri, the Indian flute, a little bit in my back when I take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you shower with your instruments?
Oh yeah.
I hope the humidity
cross culture showers.
Yes. They are made, you know, bamboo loves humidity, you know, so. Yeah.
It expands, I'm sure.
But actually, so people who, like, love bamboo flutes, they have a gazillion of them, here, like 20 at least.
Oh, wow.
And and half of them don't work.
So you are in Alabama at the moment?
Yes.
All right. So I know that you're obviously from Albania. You moved to Boston.
Yeah,
you did the Berklee thing in New England Conservatory as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Right, and lived in the area for a while and then moved out there because Boston is crazy expensive right now, and I get it.
Wait, did you say Alabama?
Yes.
Yeah,
but I call it Alabamia now.
Exactly. The astronauts of Alabamia?
Alabamia, yes.
I hope you didn't go there because you thought it would be like similar to where you're from. It is not.
I mean, so the story was I was in Boston, you know, like enjoying teaching, you know, the commute, you know, lots of gigs. But my wife was going in a grad school and she had to do an internship. And they told her, do you want to go there? And I said, for love, I'll go there.
Nice.
And actually, I like it. And they gave her a great job.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I have lots of gigs, so why not, you know?
Yeah, and to be honest, it's a good time to be, you know, in a spot where you can have a nice house. It's lockdown time around here, so.
Yeah. But, you know, life is, you can do your music wherever you are, and if you are passionate about it, like, so the way how I see myself these days, it's, you know, I create the music that I want to play, so I teach people what I want them to play, and I share my passion, and the right people will join you, and you have a kick-ass band.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, in this band, it's funny, the bass player, he couldn't play bass 2 years ago.
Right.
Like, he just started, and now he plays 15-8, 7-8, 13-8.
Jeez, there you go.
The guitar player, he was Mr. 4-4.
Yeah.
Like, he was playing fingerstyle Tommy Emmanuel stuff, but we begin to play little by little Tommy Emmanuel playing Bulgarian style stuff. And the drummer, we got this guy that I met, like, very relaxed. This guy has a Grammy playing percussions, like, you know, local guy. So this was the band. He's like beginner, advanced, and if you put it together, like, you love what you do, people will come, you know?
That's cool, man.
I'm not bragging, you know, I'm not saying that, hey, this is what I do. I'm just sharing how passionate I am about it, you know?
Yeah, and I feel you.
Yeah, it's like...
You can make it happen anywhere.
Exactly. And actually having people that don't have the experience that you have, it's actually even better, because actually you're educating them, you know, bringing diversity, and you learn something from them, you know, creating your place wherever you are.
Yeah, that's great, man. So one of the random things, I mean, not random for you, but for the podcast, that's really interesting is this whole kettleball thing. And I've seen you.
Kettleball thing.
Yeah, this whole kettleball thing is crazy. I've seen you on Facebook.
Kettleballs? What just happened?
And it looks excruciating. It looks like it's this like sadistic workout where you're just sweating and you're in the zone.
Can't breathe.
Yeah, it looks. But I mean, I know, and I know from chatting with you on this subject, that there's a lot of mental benefit for it, and obviously physical, and, you know, just tell everyone a little bit about it.
You know, I like fitness, and I really love kettlebells, and like I started them doing it, learning as a fitness way, getting in shape, but I discovered there is a thing, it's called kettlebell sport. And kettlebell sport is this, like, this excruciating torture competition divided by the Russians. And it started as a sport from the 1800s. And the thing is, you take these two kettlebells or one, and you just move them basically up and down for 10 minutes. And you are not allowed to put the bell down. I mean, right. They won't shoot you if you put the bell down.
Right. See,
the competition is over.
Right. I said,
won't they though?
I already made a mistake. You see, I said kettleball. It's kettlebell. Right.
I did too.
Kettlebell, yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but it's okay.
I was thinking kettle popcorn the whole time.
No. They're insane. If you look them up online, there are these weights that are, you know, have handles, and it looks intense.
But so I really love that, because it's, I mean, we are all trained musicians, so we're kind of trained to do something, you know, so we love being like on a mission or like working towards something, getting something done, learn a song or perform a gig, you know. Performing a gig is like competition, basically. So, you know, as I do this, I really love the physicality. I mean, and, you know, it really kind of the main focus with them is like the mental toughness.
Right.
So you're going there and everything sucks. You have the weight pushing you down. You cannot breathe, but you're going to get the reps. So basically, you have to tell your brain, you know, shut the beep, you know, and just breathe.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, breathe, you know, and mm-hmm. It's kind of like life in one sense, you know? So it's. Right.
It's like high stress yoga.
And you just
yoga.
Breathe. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. High stress yoga. I mean, some people love yoga chill. I'm like, you know, like.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, though.
Yes.
Have you always been into fitness? Like, did you stop for a while and had to get back into it? Was it hard to get back into?
That's a very good question. So I always went to the business, but some years I wasn't, because I had to work, you know, going to school, you know, working at restaurants, trying to play gigs. So, and when you go back to business, to fitness after not exercising, that's how people get hurt usually.
Yep.
Because especially people who are like competitive, like I ran, I go now and I ran again and we get hurt.
Yeah, you need to stretch.
That's very good. People get hurt, yes. And I got hurt. I mean, yeah. I'm working on another masterclass thingy.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is going to be like back pain solutions for musicians.
Back pains. All right, I get you. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. I have so many friends that get hurt. Their back hurts, you know.
How much of that is based off of like just bad posture?
Oh, yeah, all of it.
That's pretty much the root of it, right?
Which
is funny, because we're taught, you know, if you're brought up classical, the first thing you learn is good posture, but none of us keep it.
Yeah. But also our instruments, if you play, think about, you are all bended, you know, so these muscles are working, this is stretching all the way. This is going to be some cool exercises, you know, just to think about differently, you know.
Do you ever recommend like those belt kind of things? I've seen that kind of.
Oh, there's exercise.
Sort of a tool to fix your posture. I've seen them kind of online. I feel like that's not a very good way to do it.
I got a great tool if you really like tools.
Yeah.
So this one is called the bow tie, and it's from this guy Donnie Thompson. Donnie Thompson was a like 300 pounds power lifters and also a PT. And what is this? You put it around you put it in your shoulders, and it really cups, like opens up your your shoulders up, and it keeps you straight. And
you so it's wear sort of like this. It pulls you back, kind of.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, I get you.
And but you don't wear this all day. You just leave this on for like 10 minutes.
Really?
Just, that's all. And when you open up, it really opens up the shoulders, so the blood goes there, and you feel so much better.
Wait, what's it called?
Bow tie.
Like a bow tie.
And it's fantastic. I mean, and you just leave it on for 5-10 minutes. You take it off, and you feel fantastic. Because sometimes the shoulders get so sore and, you know, you want to dig there, but you can't really, you know?
Yeah. But I feel like that promotes you wanting to do it on your own once you know how good it feels. So yeah. It sort of teaches you, like, if, you know, you can do that naturally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So besides the kettlebell, which is obviously strenuous, I'm sure there's cardio in there as well because of how much you just have to with stamina. But do you do any running or anything like that?
That's a fantastic point. So the kettlebell as a kettlebell sport is like anaerobic sport. Mm-hmm. So it's like strength endurance.
Oh, I see.
And so the heart rate goes really up, like for during the competition goes like 150, 160, 170, and it stays up for like 7 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So when we train for this, we train these parts of the sport, we break them. So you can work out the mobility part, so the stretching, so you can put the belt, you don't get hurt. And you work your strength, so you can hold the belt. Also the cardio. So for cardio, I do some running, but I'm a horrible runner. You know, it's like I keep getting injured all the time because poor mechanics. Mm-hmm. So that's been it's been very interesting to learn, like, what it takes actually to run and being, you know, it's a, but yeah, so running, who can run? Kudos.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been a runner. Hurts. I have friends that can just wake up and do 20 miles.
Yeah. F those guys, you know. Yeah,
exactly. I envy it, but you know, it's hard on your knees too. It just depends on who you are. Some people are really good at it.
So the thing about running is that it's, basically, you're hopping from one leg to another, so it requires really strong feet, like really your feet. So a good test that we do, it's you do, the goal is to do 30 single leg calf raises. Mm-hmm. If you can do, then you are ready to run, basically.
Okay.
Because the calves work, do most of the work, then is the quads, then the hip flexors, and in the end is the glutes.
Right.
Wait, so calf raises, that's when you kind of stand on your tippy toes and then go back
down.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to do those on the stairs. Do you have to do those on the stairs?
Yeah, or
do
you do them on any flat way ground? You can do them. In the stairs are actually fantastic because they work the deep muscles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it hurts. I remember the pain.
So do you think, though, that this kettlebell thing is specifically good for musicians, or is it just good in general? I mean, is there anything specifically like wrist strength or anything, or is that kind of hard on your wrist? Or
so this kettlebell, it's like it's a sport, and it requires you to have great stamina, 10 minutes going like busting balls. Mm-hmm. And each kettlebell, the ones that I'm doing now, is like 36 pounds each hand.
Five. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it is good. I think physical exercise is fantastic for musicians. You know, it's like get out of our head. But also when we perform, it's so physical, you know. Yeah. Like people who are like, don't move, you don't get any energy, anything. Like James Brown, he dances with his bands. Like all the grooviest musicians, they are there. They are dancing, like singing, their bodies, feeling every beat. Like, I mean, because also we are very visual, as you guys know, you know, like, when someone performs, it's the whole body experience. So being in great shape, it's like number one.
Probably helps you with your breath control as well, right? I mean, as a woodwind player.
That actually does. Kettlebell sport, yeah. It helps because you have to breathe.
So what else do you do besides that? Or is that your main thing at this point? The kettlebell, and I know you do stretching. You did a stretching video for the site, which is, you know, people have commented on and they really like it. And so besides the stretching and the kettlebell, what do you do?
Okay, so basically I love physical culture. Physical culture is like, you know, the opposite of arts, you know, we do all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. So in order to be in great shape, I do a lot of mobilizations, like do a lot of mobility drills. And these are like, some people do Tai Chi, so it's basically some sort of Tai Chi kind of movements. They are not hard on the body, but, you know, you clean your joints, you move them, you start with your neck, your shoulders, like make sure everything works. And you do that every day for like 20 minutes and make sure your body works, you know?
What are other mobility? Like, because Tai Chi, that's more very, is it slow movement?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I say Tai Chi, like, just as an example. But, okay, you know, yeah. It's like, it can be any kind of movement, you know, just like, basically we work out the joints of all our body slowly, little by little, you know, getting the neck to work, you move it every day, the shoulders, the arms, the hands, you warm them up, you know, so make sure they are all oiled, you know, blood goes yeah. into them. And anytime I do them, I feel great. When I stop doing them, I get hurt, basically.
Okay. Yeah. That's basically not even, what's the word for, oh, like, it's not even calisthenic, right? It's just movements.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah.
Well, how did you start with that? Is there sort of like a guide? Because to me, it's like insanely detailed stretching every day.
Well, there's a new master class that's coming, you know?
Just kidding. Really?
Jake, you're going to be editing it, so you should figure it out.
Yes. I learned this. So it's the whole, like these days, there's a lot of like body movement, just like search body movement, animal flows. There's so much of this. Like it's really popular. So,
would you say animal flows?
Yeah, animal flows. Yeah. Oh, okay. So you do this exercise in the floor. You move like a bear, a cobra, like a donkey.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, nice. Sounds like old kung fu movies.
Yeah.
Me and Adam are like the worst two people to be talking to this about. We're going to ask you every single question possible.
It's like, how do you actually lift a weight?
Yeah, how do you get out of bed to do all this stuff?
So it all starts with coffee. You get the best, strongest coffee you need, you know?
You don't have to worry about that. We're on top of the coffee part.
Yeah, the coffee part we got.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Unless there's more exercise, I know that you're pretty good with what you eat as well, right? So,
oh, no, I'm the worst, man.
No, you're
really?
Not.
Really?
I eat whatever the F I want.
Oh, okay. I thought that you were like cooked all the time.
Yeah, so I can eat.
Yeah, but like
cooks whatever he wants.
You don't eat. You don't use protein shakes or anything crazy.
Actually, I do.
You don't drink. I don't know.
Guinness.
So, yeah, I was going to say something healthy, but Guinness is there. Hops. Like, yeah, there's vegetables in there. Hops. Barley.
Oh yeah, I mean Guinness is the best thing. You know.
Yeah, I guess those are grains. Those aren't really vegetables.
Yeah. So, like, food-wise, like, for our bodies to really function really good, we need to take, like, our body, like, take our protein, you know? So it really sounds like a cliche, basically. But anytime I take whatever my required protein is, I have more energy. So it's like, especially when I go on tours, I make sure I get stuck up with protein. And in order to eat healthy, what I do, I eat the protein first. You know, then okay. The rest of the stuff. And, but I'm not the diet guy, sorry.
Right. No.
Because what I eat for performance, so I need to eat a lot so I can perform better.
So how would you do any of this if you're on the road? Well, I mean the physical stuff, not the eating.
But actually, if you go on the road, you're going to be as comfortable as possible.
Right.
Like, because you're going to be traveling so much, carrying stuff. It's not going to be your bed. You're going to be in a van or traveling. So the only thing I could recommend to people is like deep breathing and also doing mobility exercises in the night before they go to bed. So body really relaxes and you can sleep well. And when you sleep well, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Do you do anything before you perform?
Do I do anything before? I make sure that the money, you know, my money is there, you know.
I think that makes sense.
Like, it depends on the gigs. I'm kind of like high stress when I work for not my stress, but I want to make sure everything is correct. So I make sure I eat very well a bit, and I drink lots of water, you know, but I get before anyone else, make sure I have a copy of the charts, you know, because people forget stuff all the time, but health-wise, nah.
Yeah, I know. I just meant, do you like stretch before you play and do all that stuff? Like, do you have a ritual or anything, you know?
I do. Like, you know, so what I do, I dress up, you know, and I carry my amps.
You dress up. That's good. That's a good start.
You know, I carry my amps and I have this special technique when I carry stuff so I don't get hurt.
Oh, okay.
You know, so.
Well, that's a step above.
No, I don't. I mean, honestly, anytime I'm stressed out, I take 10 deep breaths.
Right.
It's like fantastic. You are pissed. Like you are stressed out, like ready to lose it, you stop, you take 10 deep breaths, and it's like, oh, like the best thing after coffee.
So a non-physical tip, I know that you're always exploring new things. I know that odd time signatures are nothing, it's nothing new for you because of, you know, what you've been doing for a long time. But I know you're studying Conical right now, right?
Yes. So when I grew up playing classical music, and I switched to jazz. And when I was playing jazz, people told me, oh, your time is bad. And like for a while, my time was back. I had a lot of energy, but my phrases were not coming right, you know. So, and I said, one year, I said, you know, I was kind of older, and I said, this semester, I'm going to focus on my time. I'm like, I was not in school, but I told myself, hey, I'm going to give myself a chance. This is going to be from this one, it's going to be 4 months, it's going to be one semester. I'm going to go to this class. This is the rhythm class. So everything I did was about a rhythm. Nothing too complicated, just playing in time. And then my timing got better. And what I decided is like find songs that are in different time fields, different time signatures. And then I said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to find songs that I really like and nail them. Like really learn the melodies, learn the rhythm. Like really do a recording that is like that and do my own version. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing this, I went back to my Balkan roots. I said, like, oh, wow, actually, I grew up playing 7-8. Like, I didn't know that I was singing 7-8, but, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I begin to make learn songs, make a book. And now when we play with my band, it's all, like, all-time signatures. And the band flows because we are, I mean, I don't want to use the word all-time signature, you know, just, yeah. But because we are believe it, and it's just another clave. And during this study, I discovered Indian solfège. And
the Indian solfège?
Indian solfège, Conical. And on and off, I've been, you know, taking lessons from people. And now I have an awesome teacher in India, Shivarai, you know. And Shivarai is like the Conical beatboxer, yes?
Nice. Yeah, and he's we talked to him recently, and he should be making a video for us soon too about about Indian rhythm in mathematics and in terms of this these beat cycles, which is really just great stuff, you know.
Yeah, so I'm learning from this guy now, and but my goal is not to become a master of that genre, or like, because I want to do basically original music or stuff that I want to play, you know, just I want to enjoy you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like having a good time making music. But studying this really like makes me like really open my mind on the mathematical of the rhythm, you know?
Yeah.
But also I want to keep it melodic, not too much math.
No, but it's just really interesting. I always find that I learned so much from other cultures in terms of music because we all came from a different spot in terms of folk music. At one point, the world wasn't as connected. Now everything is connected via the internet and social media. But back in the day when this stuff was around, you know, you had to travel to another country to hear their music. And that's why everything has a vibe. That's why.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. So keep your vibe, people. Be original. Embrace your vibe.
Or Sweet Home Alabama.
Actually, I did a 7-8 version of that, you know.
Nice. Sweet Home Albania.
Alabamia.
Yeah, Alabamia. Yeah, I mean, I think it's important in general for musicians to understand what their body's telling them. And I've always said this,
man.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go as hardcore as Genny. If you know, you don't, if you're not into the kettlebell, I'm going to say it right this time, right? The kettlebell. Nice. Or stuff like that. It just means that you have to understand what your body's telling you. If you're in pain every day, you should do something about it. Like whatever
that's
it is.
Actually, yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I mean, one suggestion that I have for people, if you are in pain, go for a walk.
Okay, like, yeah.
Are you stressed out? Your back hurts? Your hand hurts? Go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And if it be better, do it twice a day.
Right.
I mean, like, twice a day is, like, very simple. And, like, by walking, it's not hardcore, but it's so easy. But your body moves better. You lose weight, you know. Mm-hmm. Thoughts clean up. You can do it for any reasons, you know.
Yeah, I remember when I was when I was younger, when I was at Manhattan School of Music, I was, 18, 19 years old. And I was practicing so much that I got tendonitis in both wrists.
Oh, wow.
And it took me a while to figure out how to stop that from happening, because I knew I had to learn so much material. I had so much on my plate. I was so inspired to do it. And eventually my body just broke, shut down, you know, and I was still practicing through it. But you go to the doctors and they give you anti-inflammatory pills and it's just a band-aid.
Those are not good.
No, it's just a band-aid to the problem. It never fixes what is going wrong. So if you go to physical therapy, they tell you to strengthen the muscle around the tendon in a way that works, but there's still a problem underlying that. Like you have to look at your form, technique. My shoulder. Maybe
exactly,
it's like it's up when I'm playing and there's not enough blood getting, or my angle on my wrist. So you start to reinvent exactly what's going on in your own way and you figure out what works for
points.
You. And then all of a sudden,
you
know, I was fine. All of a sudden my technique got better. I didn't have to practice much to play faster and cleaner. Because I just figured out ergonomically what worked for me. And I think that's an important thing to avoid injury and pain because, you know, it's not easy to do what we do and to have these fine motor skills and to practice the amount of hours. Like imagine, you know, 6 hour practice sessions or 4 hour, 5 hour gig or whatever it is when you're young and you're doing it. It's
if you're doing something wrong, you could seriously
screw yourself up.
I've had professors actually tell students to stop practicing, right. Especially piano players, like, cause piano is it's aggressive and you're playing like thousands of notes every 4 minutes, you know what I mean? It's just like insane.
And muscles are going
scales.
This way. You are squeezing the whole time.
It's crazy.
It doesn't work
I've had a teacher actually tell a student, he's like, stop practicing and we're going to work on your technique because you might blow a tendon out.
Yeah.
And then you're screwed for a while.
It's like that video with Jeremy Manasseh where he talks about the relaxation on the piano. It's that kind of care and practice you have to take to relaxing that, that you should do no matter what instrument you're playing, where you play one note and you scan your body for tension. You know, there you hear people talk about that, and that stuff is no joke. I did it as a bass player, you know, playing. And for instance, I had heard someone say something that resonated with me for a while, which was when you're playing a note, let's say you're playing your second finger on your left hand, you're playing a G or whatever it is. If you guys can see me because we have video, but the audience can't. But if these other fingers, if I go like this and they're not moving, like, so say my first, my third, or my fourth finger aren't moving. And when I touch them with my other hand, and I don't know if this is coming across on podcast land, but it means that you're too tense. Like, why are those other fingers should be floppy. They should, the only pressure you should be feeling is the finger that is actually applying fret to the fret. And that's one of those concepts that takes a long time to take in, and it's something that you have to just do in the practice room and never think about when you're playing, but eventually it comes through and then you're loose and you sound good.
Man, your points are fantastic. I totally agree with you, like 100%. I mean, yes, I wish I knew them earlier.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean it doesn't start hurting until you're older anyway.
No.
That's where like, oh shit, I have to actually, you know, look into this stuff and take care of, and drink water. Like if you're dehydrated and you're rocking a gig on guitar, like your entire hand will just freeze. Like
I mean, totally.
Or if you have to sing.
Yeah.
Oh man, I mean, totally. Imagine. Like drinking water for gigs is like the best thing. Forget about beer.
Yeah.
I mean, alcohol is, we like it, but it's poison actually. Like you are working, training, then taking poison in your body. So it's like...
Yeah.
Gilad Hexelman, and he's got this great video on the site where he talks about internalizing time. And he does it in such a cool way, and it kind of mirrors what I was talking about with scanning your body. And he does this thing where he doesn't promote the idea of not moving when you're playing or not dancing or getting into the music, but for the exercise he stands completely still and plays a song, you know, at a slow tempo to a click, or has a click on like every 16 bars or something, or 32 bars, and just scans his body for any counting, you know, meaning that if you're counting in your head, going like one, two, or even your breath, like
wow,
Like any noise, a nod of the head, a twitch, anything that could be counting in your body, and removes all that so that to ensure that he's feeling this time and this pulse. And it's kind of this meditative. See, again, I did that in another episode. Is that the word, Jake? Meditative? Meditative?
Meditative?
I say meditative.
All right. You can say whatever you want.
All right, I'm going to learn it for
it's
the
just
next
how,
episode.
It's how fast you do the middle.
Exactly. Meditative.
You actually, you know, I'm going to get that masterclass. Sounds like fantastic.
But yeah, it's just one of those cool things. It's basically a meditation on let's see how strong you can internalize this concept, you know, because you should be able to feel it and not have a crutch, because that's what he was saying. He's like, he's saying that if you're in the music and you're on stage and you're feeling it, you can do whatever you want. But for this exercise, let's see how ingrained this is in you without cheating, without, because a lot of people have crutches. Like if you, they're always going, you know, I'm, which is a way to count. And it's interesting.
Actually,
it's an interesting
I have a piano student, you know, his name is Trey. He's going to listen to this. He's my best friend. And I'm trying to teach him some piano, but anything he plays, he sounds like polka.
Yeah? No matter what it is?
Like he, and you know, I said, Trey, this is the tempo. One, two. And he goes, Trey tempo, tempo. You know, he's got the polka going the whole time, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty awesome, actually. He can maybe see that he should just stick to that, and maybe it'll be like.
I know. Actually,
super
my approach
cool
was
marriage.
That. Yeah, I told him, "Hey Trey, I said, you know, let's effing nail this. This is what you do. Let's learn this. Yeah. Let's, you know, but
just be like an avant-garde polka player or something like
he
that.
Could, he could do a cover of Lady Gaga and call it Polka Face.
I mean,
oh, that's rough, man. I was gonna say polka dots and moonbeams, but you just beat me to it.
That works too.
No, Polka Face sounds fantastic. You're talking about the one note repetition. So in our Japanese music with the shakuhachi, you know, we do this exercise. It's called a robuki, and you play one note 100 times.
Oh wow!
And he makes the sound of the instrument so good.
So
you
wait,
get all the overtones.
Is it? It's not. But it's not in a specific rhythm. It's just a for tone variation.
Like, take a deep breath.
Oh wow! Like long tone stuff.
Yes. Relax. Another breath. So, like, we were talking about meditation, and actually, that's the kind of stuff that I like, you know, with my instrument.
Oh yeah.
But they get is the opposite of, you know, like relaxing. You relax, but you are kind of physical with your instrument. You know what I mean? Because all your air goes there. You breathe.
Yeah, but that,
you know.
No, but I'm with you, man. That kind of focus is that laser focus calms me down. You know, we're all people and we're musicians and we're scattered at times, and any kind of mantra, you know, I studied meditation for years.
Fantastic.
And the biggest thing, because I did transcendental meditation, so that's from India, okay? And there's different kinds of meditation. There's Zen Buddhist meditation, and you know, I'm not an expert on any of that, but I just know what I know. And this style of meditation is on a mantra, right? So it could be any sound that, you know, everyone knows the Om thing and, you know, all that stuff. You know, you say a sound and over until it kind of becomes meaningless, you know, you just don't even, you're not paying attention to it. And it's the same with the long tones. I could assume that after 100, I mean, well, after a certain amount, it just becomes this thing that is focusing your mind, and
And the sound,
I'm totally down with it.
Yeah,
it's beautiful, and that's why people play this the singing bowls and stuff as well.
And by the way, I want to really thank you guys for having this website. It's my favorite website. It's like my treat. Like once every 2 months, I buy a masterclass. I watch it. Don't always practice it, you know. But you know, it's like I mean, I really love learning stuff because when I grew up, I didn't have like access to this stuff, you know. I had to be, teachers were holding books, so the ability to get information, I value that very much. So it's
you're doing it the right way, man. You see, we tell people not to practice this stuff, but we actually tell them that they should just download
just buy
it
them.
Just buy them, don't practice anything, because it could lead to bad things. But
yeah, like you sound awesome.
Yeah, that's okay. No, but
I just play the videos when I go to bed.
But you know, these people have like also like one cannot learn everything.
You have to learn what resonates with you.
Like I love my Garson, but man, whew.
Yeah, it's heavy stuff.
It's a beast.
Yeah, I mean, it's all heavy stuff. I mean, I think that in general with a cat, we have his massive catalog at this point, and you just have to do what resonates with you and sometimes pick a, you know, parts of things that really you like out of videos, or sometimes someone's entire philosophy you fall in love with. But the beauty of what I found with the website in general is that there's only 12 notes in Western music. You know, we're not talking about Hindustani music or other microtonal musics. So we have 12 notes, and there's only so many topics in jazz or in pop or in classical that exist. You know, there's tone, there's rhythm, there's modal choices, there's harmony, and so on. But everyone has a different way of approaching things. And I've said this many times, but for instance, we have multiple videos on learning standards, right? By different people, and they're all completely different. Because everyone has a different philosophy on it. And as a student, when I was young, I wished I had more than one perspective because, you know, when I watch these videos and I film them or I edit them with Jake, I mean, we stumble on things. Like I say, shit, I never thought of it like that. You know, I mean, why I wish someone would have said that when I was 18, you know, because that's something I've been thinking about in a different way and it just resonates with me differently. So it's great to have all these different perspectives because sometimes one of them will always hit, you know, in terms of, you know, and others don't make as much sense.
Totally believe in the resonating part, you know, you check all the options. And the ones that really convince you, it's going to work out. So what do you guys have next coming?
Bruce Foreman has a new video. We have a lot of people sending stuff in. Walt Weisskopf's got one in the works.
Awesome.
Juan Pablo Navarro. He's a really, really great tango bass player, expert at tango from Argentina.
Fantastic.
We're getting Haslip to do one.
Jimmy Haslip's doing something. Gail Horelu from France.
Oh, that's right.
Great horn player.
What about Vardan? How's that video? Are you guys doing that?
Absolutely. We were waiting for him to move into his new spot. We should hit him up soon.
Yeah, let's hit him up.
Yeah, that guy sounds fantastic. Yeah. I love his playing.
We've got all kinds of stuff. It's kind of strange, you know, this whole thing has been really surreal and unsettling, but we've been okay, you know, in the online world, and a lot of our artists, we're trying to help as much as we can, and a lot of people are interested in sending stuff in, and they're able to film themselves, and we're producing it here, so it's working
fantastic.
Out.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Just trying to keep it alive, man, you know, as best as we can with and support as many musicians as we can in this really strange time.
Yeah.
Let's call it for now. And thanks again, Genny and Jake.
And G-Sharp.
And G-Sharp. G-Sharp. Thanks, Kitty. And we'll talk to you soon, man.
Here, kitty, kitty.
Yeah.
Da-da. Do you know this song?
I don't know.
No, it's Here, kitty, kitty from Joe Exotic.
Oh, from Joe Exotic. Right. Oh, shit.
Keep him away from your cats.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, but thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it, you know. And, you know, keep doing your stuff. I really love the site and, you know, and I'll keep buying videos, you know. Don't tell my wife, you know.
I won't tell her. All right, boss. Talk soon.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail, you can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes, so look forward to hearing from you.